Welcome to Asbury. My name is Jack Henderson. I'll be your liturgist this morning. I would encourage everyone to, at the end of your pews, pick up the attendance pads, sign your name, and let us know you were here. It'll give us an opportunity to keep a record of who was here and also provide an accurate record for the conference in our attendance reports. If you will look in the back of your bulletin, there are several announcements this morning that I'd like to bring your attention to. There are a couple I would like, on the inside bottom of your bulletin is some information about AR Kids Read. If you desire to make a positive impact in a child's life or in their future, please consider volunteering 1 hour a week. You can visit that website, call the number listed, or see Jenny Curris for more information. The Currises are busy in the community right now. When you entered this morning, you offered a purple and turquoise ribbon in recognition of Suicide Prevention Month, which is September of every year. Every day in the U.S., there are approximately 125 deaths from suicide. 22 of those are active duty military or veterans. As an example, this past week, a young airman took his life on Camp Robinson while on duty. While we are sitting in worship for 1 hour, 5.2 suicides will occur somewhere in our country. Suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem, and when it happens, the effects last forever on those left behind. Get involved by saying something to someone who can help. Excuse me. Ms. Lou Teeter is heading our awareness campaign this month, and Pastor Doug is part of a military suicide prevention team, available day and night to anyone who needs to talk. Talking is the best medicine. All of us need to be in prayer about this epidemic gripping our nation. The supper and study sign-up is in the back of the bulletin. This is a wonderful time of fellowship over a meal and the study of God's Word. Just sign up, tear out the portion of the bulletin, and place it in the offering to let us know how many we will have for the meal. And please look over all the activities going on here in Asbury in the next few days and weeks. I would invite everybody to stand and greet each other in the name of Christ. In your hymnal. remain standing and join me in our statement of faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life and death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning. Okay, I'll take it. What do I have? M&M's. Let's see. How many are there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of us in one bag of M&M's. How's that going to work?
You could share.
I could share. What else could I do?
We can count them and then we could put them in equal groups.
We could put them in equal groups. So sharing. So we all get the same amount, Seth? Is that what you're saying? That's only fair if we get the same amount? So I can't keep the whole bag to myself? No? Okay. Well, darn.
It says sharing on it.
It does say sharing. It is sharing size. So I started thinking about that. Sharing. What is this? A Bible. What's in it? What is it? Stories. Is it the Word of God? Yes. And we have it in print form, but where else can we find it? My third graders and my fourth graders know this. Where else can we find the Word of God? It's in our what? Is it in our hearts? Yeah. So I want you to think about your favorite memory. Everybody have a favorite memory? It's on your heart and it's in your head, right? If you don't share that, can anyone else know about it? No, so it's just like God's Word. We have it here, and we have it in our heart, and we have the Holy Spirit. But if we don't share it, other people aren't going to know about it. So are we supposed to keep God to ourselves? No. Are we supposed to share God? So it's like this sharing size bag of M&Ms. I can't keep it to myself, right? I have to share? Okay. So as we go to God in prayer, let's thank God for giving Him, giving His Son, that we have our Holy Spirit, and that we're able to share. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for letting us know that we always have you in our hearts. Amen.
One announcement I forgot to make at the beginning of the service is that as chairman of the Finance Committee, we are in the middle of getting our pledge cards in, so if you have not turned in your pledge card, please consider doing so as soon as possible and prayerfully consider what your gift will be to the church, if any. We have to report to the conference and our charge conference in the next couple of months, and they have moved that up a month on us, so it may seem earlier to you this year, but that's the reason why. And we appreciate your continued support of Asbury's mission and its ministry. So thank you very much for that. If you would now please join me as we go to a moment of prayer. Please be mindful of the people that are listed in your bulletin in the prayer section. Meant to bring that with me. Charlie Ward Sr., Laura Stinnett, Mary Jane Patton, Annette Crawford, Hilda Parr, and Bobby Douglas. There are probably some that are not on the list, but keep them in mind as well. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you with gratefulness in our hearts, grateful because you loved us first. There's nothing else in this world that means so much today, tomorrow, and forever. Your love and your grace is sufficient for anything we may encounter in our lives. Father, even though you have placed your seal upon us and the Holy Spirit lives in us, we humbly ask you for words, words we can use to spread your love and your kingdom. Place those who are lost in our paths. Give us the right words to use to impact their heart and help us to remember Jesus came to save those who were lost to a life eternal. Lord, there are so many hurting in our nation, in our world, and even in this church today. We ask for you to touch them with your hand, healing their body and their spirit. Make them whole so your glory will shine through them and be a testimony to others. We pray all this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Let us pray and ask the Lord to bless our morning offering. Father, we continue to show our gratefulness by lovingly giving our tithes and offerings this morning. Bless them and multiply them to enable your word and your people to go, and may our actions impact your kingdom here on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Sing unto the Lord, let your voice proclaim the acceptance of the greatness. Sing unto the Lord.
please remain standing for our hymn of meditation? There is something about that name. It will be sung twice on page 171 of your hymnal.
Before I offer the word of God today, I just have to say I believe our choir was influenced by Philander Smith. There are people, and I will not call them out by name, Rustin, that I thought I'd never see sway. And the unsung hero here is Angel. Wow, you ripped those keys. Aren't we blessed, congregation? Let's turn to the Word of God as we go to the book of Romans. And if you brought your personal Bibles, I hope you'll find a way to mark this passage. This is a crucial passage in your Christian journey. And if not, I hope you'll take your bulletin home and do so when you get home. So may the people of God be blessed in this hearing and reading of God's holy word as we find it beginning with the 8th verse, going through the 15th. But what does it say? The word is near you on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For man believes with his heart and so is justified, and he confesses with his lips and so is saved. And the scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and bestows his riches upon all who call upon him. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are men to call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without a preacher? And how can men preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. The word of God for the people of God. I don't believe that's talking about preachers should have pedicures to have pretty feet, but I believe that it's talking about how privileged we are to be called by God to share the good news. I'm doing the children's sermon in the next service, and I thought about something I heard once in a children's sermon. The pastor was giving the message and said, "Can you tell me what has a lot of brown hair and gathers nuts to himself?" One little kid spoke up and says, "Well, it sure sounds like a squirrel, but it's got to be Jesus." Now, in the answer always, Jesus, my friends. Every now and then throughout my ministry, I've had someone come to me and say, "Okay, I'm in worship every Sunday, and I go through my life, and I profess Jesus. But how do I share Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, with another person?" And my first feeling and thought is, wow, I'm so glad you take your faith so seriously that you want to ask that question, that you want to know that answer. I mean, after all, when we took our vows and professed Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and as we joined even the United Methodist Church, we vowed to God that we would be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. So since we vowed that we will witness, we need to know how to witness. There is no perfect answer. Bringing someone to Christ has many aspects. I begin with a story that many of you are familiar with. Jesus is out teaching to thousands of people on a hillside. He's been teaching and preaching so long, it's beginning to grow into the day and people are hungry. And a little boy offers his lunch. And Jesus blesses that lunch and is able to feed all of the people with 12 basketfuls left over. Now, what's so interesting to me, and you will find this true, we don't really care for people to gripe at us, right? I mean, they can bring a complaint, fair enough. But wouldn't it be great with every complaint that a possible solution was offered? Not just the pleasure of complaining, but offering a heartfelt solution, a suggestion, an idea that together something is resolved. So here's this little boy. He doesn't gripe that, "Oh, that man just took my lunch." He's proud that he became a part of the solution. And he did this out of his heart, and I believe that's the first aspect of witnessing that is important here today. It's got to come from your heart. That's the starting point. If you don't have the desire to share Jesus, then all the flowery words, all the correct words, will have little or no impact coming from you unless it came from your heart. I was in college during summer break in my hometown, and a friend of mine who was several years older had recently gotten married about, oh, 3-4 months before the summer, and she called me up and said, "Well, I've just found out I'm going to have a baby." And I visited with her. I could hear her fear. She wasn't ready for that. And I began to just quickly think of something I could do to comfort her. And I said, "Well, what about if we just took an evening walk every night after I get off work?" And she said, "I'd like that." And I thought it'd be helpful to her because she was a little concerned also about this being her first pregnancy, how it might go health-wise. So every night, faithfully, I went over to her house and we walked a certain route. And as we spent time together, she shared her faith. She shared her concern. She shared about the new role she would have now added to being a wife, she'd be a mother. And as we talked about our faith and we talked about several scriptures we enjoyed, she asked the $6 million question, how do I really know I'm saved? And from my Bible study, I shared the scripture that I read to you just a moment ago. And I said, you know, here's the beauty of it. Jesus didn't wait till we got better to become our Savior. Jesus died on the cross while we were just covered in sin and flaws, evil thoughts at times. And he wasn't just a Christian martyr dying by crucifixion to prove a point of loyalty, sacredness. He died on the cross with the purpose of love, that we would know why he was sent in the first place and how God really loves us. And then it didn't stop with that cross. He rose from the grave and he appeared several times so that we would know that there is power beyond the grave, that there is eternal life. And she seemed to just drink this in as if hearing it for the first time. Maybe it's because I was so earnest and young in my own faith, but I believed every word and still do of what I shared with her. And she said, I do believe. That's all she said. That's all she needed to say. I do believe. People all around the little boy that day were skeptics. How can this little bitty lunch feed all these thousands of people? But people didn't know the power of Jesus because people didn't know Jesus. But the little boy knew Jesus because he believed in Jesus. He trusted him. And that's the second component of your witness. Is not only must it come from the heart, but you have to trust the Lord that he's going to help you with your witness. Jesus asked the disciples, who do the people say that I am? And the disciples said, well, some believe that you're John the Baptist come back from the dead, and others believe that maybe you're Elijah coming back, and then others believe that you're just an outstanding prophet. Jesus asked them earnestly and said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter jumped at the opportunity to witness his faith. He said, ah, you're Messiah, Son of the living God, the Christ. Peter just knew. Period. End of story. Peter just knew and believed. The Samaritan at the well in John 4. Jesus comes to the well. The Samaritan woman's there in the heat of the day. There's only one reason a woman would do that is so she wouldn't be bothered. She wouldn't be seen. And Jesus asked for a drink of water from the well. And the woman gave him the drink of water. And after she said, who are you, a Jew, to be asking me, a Samaritan, for a drink? And then he goes on to say, but if you just knew who was asking you for water, you would ask him for the living water. For I am the living water of which you shall drink and never thirst again. He simply had a conversation with her. Of all persons, Samaritans and Jews alike would worship in spirit and in truth. And she had a revelation that changed her life, changed her heart. She had met the Christ. Did she keep it to herself? No, she couldn't wait to go run and share the good news because her heart had changed. And hear this word from 1 Peter 3:15. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Oh, you can know the right things to do and the right things to say, but if your heart is not right with the Lord, you see. The woman ran to town and said, "Come meet the man who told me everything about myself." The Christ. The living water, Jesus says. Drink of this and you shall not thirst. But he doesn't leave you waterlogged. He says, "I am the living bread. If anyone partakes of this bread, he will live forever." Jesus loves us so much, my friends. He's not only the host, he's the provider, and he gives us the spiritual sustenance for the rest of our life. Excitement. That's another aspect that must be present in your witness. I want you to stop for a moment and ask yourself, when was the last time you got excited about Jesus? Not about the church. Not about a certain Sunday school lesson. Not about a certain great anthem. When was the last time you were personally excited about Jesus? Your relationship with Jesus. You know, I suspect that day, if the little boy hadn't given his lunch, Jesus would have found a way to feed all those people. But I wouldn't be surprised if that little boy couldn't wait to run home to his parents and go, "Mom, Dad, guess what? I gave my lunch to Jesus today, and he took it, and he fed tons of people with it. And I helped." Sounds like that Hamburger Helper commercial. "And I helped." He was so excited that he had done something for Jesus, that he had done something with Jesus, that he had been a part of creating good with Jesus. Excitement has got to be within you. The choir needs to be excited when they're leading you in singing hymns. I need to have the face of someone who is passionate about my Lord in order for you to understand that knowing your Lord and following your Lord and trying your very best to be obedient to your Lord is important in order to share about your Lord. Excitement's got to be within you. When was the last time you felt excited about doing something with Jesus? I know church sometimes gets a bad reputation. Sometimes we hear about pastors in outrageous behavior. Sometimes we hear about members squabbling with other members. Sometimes we hear about members who are on the outs with the pastor. Sometimes we read about denominations all across the board, mind you, that have been in decline for some 25 years. We read of and see that church has almost become generational. And sometimes we are concerned if people are losing the awareness of the need and value of worshiping together and worshiping the one true God and His Son, Jesus Christ. We worry that being together, connecting in prayer, connecting in praise, connecting in hearing the word proclaimed has become almost passé or is headed that way fast. And yet, it is to the church people will come in their time of need. It's the church where we are assured of meeting all kinds of people, saints and sinners. Why would I go there? I know what they did Saturday night. Why? I don't want to sit next to somebody. What, how hypocritical is that? What did Jesus say? He said, "I didn't come for those who are healthy. I came for those who are sick." And that would be everybody. Everybody. You see, my prayer is that every human being on this planet would understand that they need to be in an exciting, important, valuable relationship with someone who is far greater than they are themselves. I believe Asbury United Methodist Church is on a pretty good track for being a place where you can feel the Spirit of the living Lord. We're not totally there. We've got work to do. But people feel, I believe, Jesus when they walk through those doors. Amen? We're a church in covenant. Remember that word, that binding relationship? You can't truly follow Jesus if you're not willing to be in covenant with Jesus by being in obedience and following him. The specific call is to share with others about Christ by loving Christ, by loving his people. Yes, that can be a challenge at times. Fulfilling the covenant and obedience means so much. It means feeding the hungry. It means visiting the sick, the ill, the shut in, even those in prison. It means teaching the children about Jesus. It means leading the youth in the paths of Jesus. It means giving others a glimpse of what it means to follow Jesus by your daily example. Help those who are struggling with life rather than judging and criticizing them. Help the homeless. Help the helpless. Comfort the grieving. Help with disaster recovery. United Methodist Church, umc.org. Go to it, make your donation to those who are already devastated by Florence. See, these are all ways to be obedient in our witness. When we fail to do these things, our message, my message, is empty air. So we've talked about you've got to have heart. You've got to have excitement. You've got to have trust. We've also got to be convicted. You know, I was almost an adult before I understood what that word was. I mean, it was, the root word was convict. So what did that mean? Convict. Claim. Own. Be grabbed by Jesus in your heart and soul. For effective evangelism for Christ involving action and giving always follows naturally. Compassion calls for response. Jesus never offered compassion that a response did not follow. Of healing, of forgiveness, your faith has made you whole. For another vital component of telling others about Jesus is boldness. Asbury is blessed to have a wonderful woman, a member of our church. Her name is Carol Godwin. Carol is head of our caring team, but she also heads up our Asbury food pantry. Involved in what was the Good Samaritan closet at one point, has transformed through Carol's conviction of witness into the Asbury food pantry. Carol doesn't just come and make sure there's plenty of supplies. She doesn't just stock the shelves. She doesn't just put the supplies in the sacks. No, Carol greets each and every patron we have to the food pantry with a big old smile and with the kindest presence. And she had a conversation with one fella who came in with his dog. His name was Forrest. Forrest had had strokes, seizures. And Forrest, she found out by having a conversation, was living in a metal building. No heat, no air. just out on a lot, homeless, so to speak, jobless. He just needed a little bit of help. He just needed some food, something we take for granted, and that every other week, Tuesday, he looked forward to and Carol looked forward to greet him. Hey, how you doing? You having a better week? And as she got to know him and he began to trust her more and more through the conversations, she found out that he was doing better. And he was getting a little temporary job on the side. And he was able to, with the Asbury Food Pantry help of the groceries and not having any utilities to pay, he was able to start saving. This man was from California. His dream was to get back home. And one day, he came and he said, "Well, I won't be seeing you anymore. I've got enough saved. I'm going back to California." And he began to pour out his heart and thank her so much for how what she had done and what this church had done to turn his life around. And they were able to email each other. And not too long ago, he told her that he got married. How his life had changed from a bag of groceries to a future. And how did that happen? Through the bold witness of one of our own. Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy 7, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." If there were scoffers in the crowd that day with Jesus on the hillside, Jesus and the little boy didn't notice and they didn't care. Jesus honored and used the gift that was given because it was given with the right spirit. Some of you are incredibly blessed. You've got a great portfolio. You've got money in the bank. And you're called to be generous, and many are. Some of you are gifted with musical talent, and you give it faithfully, some artistically. Some of you have a great prayer ministry, and you reach out and you fervently pray for others. Some of you have been blessed with a love for children and a love for youth, and they're constantly needing people just to help chaperone or just to teach a lesson or just to be present and participate and share that you care. But you see, none of these things will happen unless we share our God-given gifts. God's not going to point to you and say, "Okay, I gave you that gift, cough it up, it's time to give." No. God blesses us with all kinds of talents, and we are to step forward in that spirit of boldness and say, the response of a servant, "Here I am, Lord. Use me." What a marvelous story of unselfish generosity, because the real miracle that day was not how God took a little lunch through his son, Jesus Christ, and fed all these people. But don't you see, the real miracle was in the act of sharing. And sometimes we can be guilty of hoarding our gifts and stuffing them in under our tunics, if you will, like many people did their lunch that day. "No, not mine." But the real miracles of Christ happen when we share our gifts and we just let God run with it, and all kinds of wonderful things happen. Remember, every time this church helps someone to hear about Jesus, whenever this church opens itself up to a group in the community, whenever anyone in this church helps a hungry person, visits an ill person, goes to see a lonely person, counsels a person spiritually, has a funeral, has a wedding, has a worship service, if you have shared your talents and your gifts in these ministries or any other, you can say, Jesus, you and I did this together. What a privilege, what a joy. So the bottom line is this, and I'm kind of a bottom line kind of gal. There's no formula to how to witness to someone. There's no pat answers. You start with your desire. Do you even want to share Jesus with anybody? And that desire can only come from whether you're excited about Jesus. If you love Jesus. Because you can believe in Jesus, not truly worship and love him. So it starts with that desire, that excitement that just bubbles up, that prayer of awareness and opportunity, that prayer for, Lord, fill me with your presence, your spirit, that I don't stumble through this, that it just flows because it's of your Holy Spirit. I didn't premeditate what I was going to say. I didn't even know I was going to run into this person. And make sure you know your story. How did you come to know Jesus? Do you remember that? Does that bring you joy? Have you forgotten when you first became acquainted with Jesus? And then share when Jesus was so real to you, like no other moment. And share that, because chances are something very, very similar has happened in the life of that person. Let them know how Jesus has made a difference in your life. And then if this person really has never been churched, they may not know the plan of salvation. Do you? Sure you do. We just read it. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For it is with your heart you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth you confess your sin and are saved. Memorize it, mark it, carry it with you on your phone. Know it. Know that plan of salvation. Then invite that person to join the journey of discovering the greatest love story of all time. Amen. That's our call. There's no other option the Lord gives us. He says, if you're going to call yourselves Christian, if you're going to call yourself a disciple, then you get out there into this world and bring people unto me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our closing hymn is, we have a story to tell the nations, 569. If there are those here today who would like to unite with this church in any of the ways we receive members, if you want to come forward and pray that the Lord would be serious with you as you are serious with the Lord, to renew your commitment to be a true disciple, I will come and pray with you. But let us stand and sing now with a story to tell to the nations, 569.
Thank you.
so happy always to worship with each and every one of you. If you notice that someone is not here today and normally sits with you, I hope that you'll reach out to them and give them a call and let them know that they are missed. Next Sunday, as Jack alluded to, we do have our Covenant and Consecration Sunday. And if you did not, for some reason, receive your covenant and your card in the mail, please just call Cheryl at the church office. It's so moving when we come together and we consecrate our tithes and our talents to the altar of God as a body of Christ. So I hope that we'll all be able to do that next week. Please receive this blessing. Oh God, you are so good. You have given us so many blessings. And you simply ask that we go out in this world and bless the world with our witness by sharing our story, sharing what we have, sharing who we are through Jesus Christ. May we now go in the love of God, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the communion and fellowship of his Holy Spirit this day and forevermore. Amen.